Support comes from Pacific Science Center, celebrating spring at PacSci with butterflies at the Tropical Butterfly House, sea creatures in the saltwater tide pool, and Jane Goodall, Reasons for Hope at the IMAX Theater, a journey around the globe to share good news stories. Learn more at PacSci.org.
Good evening. From the KUOW Newsroom, this is Seattle Now. I'm Paige Browning. Here are today's top stories. It's Monday, April 29th. University of Washington students have joined a growing number of protests on college campuses condemning the war in Gaza.
Stop bombing Gaza!
Stop bombing Gaza!
Stop bombing Gaza!
The school's Progressive Student Union set up the encampment on the UW Quad this morning, and UW seemed prepared for it. No camping allowed signs were set up on campus today. The student protesters are calling on UW to cut ties with Boeing because of the company's military contracts. Here's student organizer Matteo Shabau.
When windows are blown out in an apartment building in Gaza and kills an entire family, there's a good chance that that's because of Boeing.
Students are hoping for an outcome similar to Portland State University, which temporarily halted its financial relationship with Boeing just last week. Shabau says the encampment will stay until UW President Anamari Kause commits to divesting from Boeing and from Israel. A UW spokesperson says they're monitoring the situation. Similar protests are underway today at other schools, including the Evergreen State College and the University of Oregon. Washington prison officials and law enforcement are still looking for a man who escaped a minimum security prison last week. Patrick Lester Clay escaped Monroe Correctional Complex Friday by stealing truck keys from a staff office. Today, officials found the white truck he'd been driving abandoned in Seattle's Central District. State officials say the last time a prisoner escaped was in 2022. They're warning the public not to approach Clay if seen. Instead, call 911. Seattle Kraken have just fired their head coach, Dave Haxtell, who's been with the team since it started. The team's general manager announced today that they decided to find a new coach following their end-of-season review. The Kraken took a big step backwards this season after making the playoffs during the 2022-23 season. GM Ron Francis says this was a necessary step to help the team improve and evolve. They're starting a coach search immediately. Anyone ride the 2 line yet? Link Light Rail trains opened their doors to passengers for the first time in downtown Bellevue Saturday. Joshua McNichols spent the day riding and talking to passengers.
Sabrina Jijahara was surprised by how quickly the trains moved.
I used to work in Bellevue, and I felt like Redmond and Bellevue were so far away, at least from each other. But then I realized, oh, it only felt far away because of the traffic. So it was a pleasant surprise.
Many riders expressed relief that the long wait for East Side Light Rail is finally over.
This project's been in development since I was in kindergarten.
That was Sean Shermay, but he'll have to wait a little longer for tracks in Bellevue to join up with the number one line running through Seattle. Sound Transit says that'll happen in late 2025. Joshua McNichols, KUOW News.
Teaching assistants at the University of Washington have voted to authorize a strike. Tomorrow, the union contracts expire for more than 6,000 UW academic assistants. Union members voted last week to go on strike if union leadership deems it necessary, which could mean the absence of tutors and graders during final exams. UW and UAW union representatives continue to bargain this week. A zebra is still missing as of this afternoon in Washington. Four broke free from a trailer on Sunday that was heading from Washington to Montana, according to King County's Regional Animal Services. One, a stallion, is on the loose in the North Bend area. Animal control workers are out looking, and some locals may use their horses to help in the search, according to Como News. Officials say if you find it, do not try to corral it yourself. Call Regional Animal Services or 911. Without a car, people can find themselves walking on the shoulder of a road, steering their wheelchair out into traffic and commuting longer and farther via transit. Anna Zivart tries to bring those voices to the table when it comes to transportation planning, and she's written a new book called When Driving is Not an Option. Amy Radel has more.
Anna Zivarts is standing at the top of the escalators at the University of Washington Light Rail Station, a hub for walking, biking, and transit.
In talking to folks who don't drive, living near light rail, that is sort of the dream, right, is having this kind of access.
Compare that to the intersection of Rainier Avenue South and I-90, where Zivart says the city is planning to open the Judkins Park Light Rail Station and hundreds of new housing units.
Rather than this freeway car funnel right there, how can this be a neighborhood?
Through her work at Disability Rights Washington, Zivarts has tried to advocate for the estimated quarter of the population that doesn't drive cars due to age, income, disability, or other reasons. She says as a teenager growing up near Olympia, she was devastated when a disorder affecting her vision kept her from getting a license.
I didn't know anyone who was an adult and couldn't drive, and I couldn't imagine a life for myself.
But in the last few years, she's helped launch a nationwide Week Without Driving and sought ways to give people with disabilities a stronger voice in mobility planning. She says the Seattle Transportation Plan passed last week shows this work is paying off. The plan contains a strong, although unfunded, commitment to new sidewalks.
That gives me hope that, you know, we can think about it more holistically, and it's going to take a financial commitment to finish building a sidewalk network, but that's how we're going to make our city accessible.
Zivarts hopes her book will continue these conversations. It'll be released May 9th. Amy Radel, KUOW News.
Some floral notes as we wrap up today. Tomorrow is the last official day of the Skagit Valley Tulip Festival. There are still blooms to see, but it's last call for tulips. But you'll have the rest of this week to see some other huge flower displays. The Daffodil Festival in Pierce County is happening through Sunday, and so is the Apple Blossom Festival over in Wenatchee if you want to take a drive. Next time on Seattle Now, we'll talk about light rail's arrival on the east side, which is driving the development of more housing, especially near the Overlake Village Station.
It's right on the Bellevue-Redmond border, and the city of Redmond's official plan is to put 10,000 more people there in the next couple decades.
That's Tuesday morning on the podcast, and that's a wrap from the KUOW Newsroom in Seattle. Our producer's Andy Hurst, and I'm Paige Browning. Seattle Now and KUOW are members of the NPR network. See ya.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.